Well, hey, everybody, Pastor Eric here with Rivers United Church, and thank you for setting aside a few moments here to watch or listen to this. We know that right now there is a lot of information coming from a lot of different places, and we have people reaching out to us as a church, you know, looking to us for some guidance and comfort and encouragement, and we are a community. And so what we wanted to do is put together a couple videos right here that are some resources. And my first thought was, honestly, right off the bat, I have to talk to Mary Sims. Like, this is what we got to do. And so I reached out to her and she said yes. And so I'm going to introduce you to her real quick. So hi, Mary.
Hi, guys.
And I'll let you introduce yourself and your credentialing and all that. But for those of you that are listening, we know Mary professionally. She has worked with our family and has been amazing and wonderful. And we just really appreciate her and respect her and her expertise. And so we're excited to introduce you to her. Why don't you do that, Mary? Why don't you just tell us, a little bit about, you know, who you are, your credentialing, all of that, and where you work and work out of, and then we'll have some, just keep going with the conversation.
Cool. Thanks, Eric. My name's Mary. I work at Hopewell Equipping and Counseling Center in Virginia Beach. I'm a licensed resident in counseling, and I work primarily with children and adolescents.
Nice, nice. And many of the people that, if you are part of Rivers United Church, you've probably heard us talk about Hopewell. And if you're from the communities that our church serves all throughout Isle of Wight, Hopewell does have a counselor that comes over to our area near Obese Hospital. So after we're done with this, I tell you what, we'll also just below this video, if you're watching it on our Facebook or YouTube channel, I'll link to Hopewell so people can reach directly out to all of you. Does that sound okay, Mary?
Sure.
All right. Very cool. Well, so Mary, what we wanted to talk about today was for our caregivers that right now find themselves with extra relational time on their hands with children in an environment where our country is under a heightened sense of stress and fear and anxiety and all this stuff. Would you take a little bit of time and just talk to us as caregivers about what we can be doing during this time to talk to our kids about fear, and maybe even, you know, just generally, and then maybe more specifically about coronavirus, if there is a difference.
Sure. Yeah. And I love what you said about having extra relational time, because I think it's a very sweet time to have conversations with your kids about their emotions and just having less maybe busy time where you can check in with how they're feeling and what they're thinking. I've been thinking about this just working with my own clients and seeing friends' kids have questions. And I think two things that come up for me generally about talking about fears, what kids fear with them, is the first being that their fears are valid. And a lot of times, they might seem silly or foolish, like fearing something under the bed or being really scared of something that we as adults have moved on from being afraid of. It seems sort of silly. But at the very heart of it, kids are recognizing that it's a very dangerous world and an uncertain world, and that we're very much out of control a lot of the times. So I think this is a really wonderful time where we might actually be vibing on what kids are feeling too, where we're thinking, yeah, we're not in control and we can't really predict what tomorrow will look like and things are shaken up. So the first piece of talking about fears with kids would just be, your fears are valid. And even if I don't completely understand them, I'm not going to say, oh, you'll be fine, nothing bad will ever happen. Because even just as people of faith, knowing we live in a fallen world and they're picking up on it. So even thinking about coronavirus, specifically mortality and sickness and trouble and disappointment, all these things that are sort of on the table right now, are really great things to talk about with your kids instead of maybe the knee-jerk reaction. I mean, I do it a lot too, of just like, oh, you'll be fine. Like nothing will happen. Because we don't know. And I think that kids pick up on that maybe more than we would hope that they do.
Yes.
So that being one piece, and the other piece being assurance. So not just saying you're right, we have no control and who knows what will happen. Saying your fears are valid, but also sort of feeling out where are they confused? Where are they being misled in terms of just like making meaning out of things? So you might try specifically with coronavirus, but it could be anything that happens in their life of like, what have you heard about this? Or what are you thinking about this? And you might uncover that, well, so-and-so in my class said that anyone who gets this is gonna die. And so that can be a chance to say like, well, that's not exactly true. So we can talk about facts and statistics, thinking about how to do that in a developmentally appropriate way. So I might share more information with an older child or an adolescent and simpler information with a smaller child, just not to overwhelm them. But even thinking about reassurance of, I can give you facts and information and that's helpful, but I also have hope and like existential cosmic hope to talk about. So for me, I think that's two-handed approach of talking about fears of, you're not making this stuff up, life is scary, but also where are you confused and making this maybe more scary than it has to be? And where can we talk about who God is and how you're actually really safe in that?
No, that's all really, really good stuff. So let me ask you, like, if people are watching this that don't know, my wife and I, we've adopted. And so two of our four children are adopted. And one of the things that we're trained during the process of being prepared to adopt is to regularly ask ourselves and each other when dealing with a behavior getting ready to address a behavior of one of our adopted children and even our biological children, is this behavior connected to the adoption? Like, is this trauma related behavior? Is it adoption issue? There, it could be all kinds of, you know, things from the adoption that could cause it. Is this behavior adoption related, or is this a 12-year-old? Like, you know, like, yeah. And is there a chance this would have happened anywhere? So, yeah. You know, is it valid to ask the same kind of question right now? Like if a 4, 5, or 6-year-old who comes out and they're, you know, they come to your bedroom in the middle of the night because suddenly they're afraid, you know, is it worth asking that question? Like, well, I wonder, is this, would they be having this fear if there wasn't all this talk about COVID-19? Is that even is it even worth a parent's time to wrestle with that?
Right. So I think that's super helpful to think about, because fears are very normal for kids, yeah, especially in a certain age range. So if a kid is getting up in the middle of the night for fear and they are 4, 5, 6, I wouldn't really bat an eye. I would expect that even in the most normal and stable of times, that some kids are going to be more afraid of different things as they learn and grow and learn more about the world. And then, you know, if a 12-year-old is maybe getting up in the middle of the night and they're scared, I might ask more questions. This isn't necessarily developmentally appropriate or common, and everyone's different. So I wouldn't even necessarily raise an alarm straight away, but I would expect more of a younger child to have anxiety and fear over certain things, and an older child or adolescent still feeling stressed and dealing with anxiety, but not in the same kind of way that a younger child would. Even just looking up what is normal, what are normal fears for this age group? There's a lot of good information about that that's available online. And you'll see sickness and accidents and people dying being really common fears for certain age groups. So even just thinking, is my child just, showing normal things, normal anxieties, and still recognizing that, like, it wouldn't maybe do a lot of good for me to meet with a child and say, oh, these fears are developmentally appropriate. You don't need to worry about it. So still addressing the fear, but maybe not feeling like this is out of the norm and I need to, take them to counseling.
So right now, I think then it's safe to say, like, right now, why all of these things are happening, we need to be paying very close attention, obviously, to our kids. And if you're co-parenting with another adult, like having a touch point once a day where you're checking in. We my wife and I share a journal together each night. We ask questions of each other about the day, because there's times I see the kids and I'm around them and she's not, and vice versa. And it helps us see patterns that we might have missed. Because I mean, she's obviously with them way more than I am. But it helps me be aware of something happening. Then if I see it when I'm with the kids or we're all out together as a family of six or whatever, then it's just very, very helpful. So, yeah. So having that kind of touch point conversation, but realizing that not everything right now is COVID-19 related, right. Even though it seems like it, if you're watching the news all day, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But still be aware that, so basically be calm.
Great starting point for sure.
Yeah. So just kind of be calm. Okay. What is, would you have any advice or, as we kind of go to start wrapping this up, about how can we as caregivers, leverage, for lack of a better term, this climate that we're in to maybe help talk to our kids about the concept of empathy and maybe try to help them develop some life skills through this experience?
Yeah, it's a wonderful time to do it for sure. One thing that I've been thinking about too, when talking about fears, when talking about disease with kids, is the younger the child, the more egocentric they're going to be just developmentally. So it's going to be really hard, up until age 8 or so. Once you start getting into the later childhood years, your brain is just more adept at empathizing, at seeing life through another person's eyes. So if you're 4, it's going to be nearly impossible to say, just think about how someone else feels before you think about how you feel. Not that you can't start building those empathy muscles at a really young age, but it's just going to be very difficult. So thinking about talking with younger kids about COVID-19, I would be intentional to say specifically like how this will affect them, because they're not going to automatically think, oh, wow, this is really going to affect my grandparents. That's not going to be their first thought. It might be, am I going to get sick? How is this going to affect me? I might die. So speaking specifically to what this means for them as a child and as an individual. But I think you're absolutely right that this is a time that people are really thinking about how to protect one another and serve one another and try to support one another. And kids can absolutely engage with that. Whether that's just like, let's talk about hand washing, and how this isn't just for you. This is a way to really protect humanity in our community. And just having conversations about what it means to be vulnerable and how you can be a part of helping vulnerable populations, strengthening them, being caretakers of vulnerable people in your midst by things that they can actually do. So not it just being like the grown-up's job, but thinking like, you too have the ability to love people really well. And that can be at this moment in time through washing your hands and checking in with people and talking to your friends, making sure they're not lonely. I think it's a really wonderful time to think about how you can support one another, showing kids videos of how other communities have supported their neighbors, giving them ideas. I think it's a really exciting time for that.
Okay, that's really good. I don't think I had thought about even just the very practical of this is why we're washing our hands, as a way, because like you said, like they're not going to see it through the lens of affecting other people. And that doesn't mean your children are selfish. It just means developmentally, you know, especially like under that 8 developmental age, you know, they're very egocentric, you know, and I think a lot of times in adults, when we hear that word, we hear the negative, but from a clinical perspective, it just means your perspective is centered around self.
Yeah.
And that's all you are. That's not a negative thing. That's just where you are. Mm-hmm. But we can, so with that, we then need to say, since this is where they are, how do we adjust our communication? How do we adjust what we're saying and doing? And not only that, the messaging. Like, you know, I've been talking to some parents that have, you know, called or, you know, reached out to us and stuff. And one of the things that I've inevitably come around to is, how much do you have the news on in the background? Mm-hmm. A lot. Okay, it might be time to stop, you know, like.
They're definitely listening.
Yeah, so much so. And the news isn't being filtered for children. And it's right. It's scary, some of the things they say on there. And if you don't have the maturity to have perspective on it, and even adult, I mean, it's just scary. It's just scary, yeah. Some of it. So I really think, you know, one, I think parents need to take a very close look at right now the environment that is unintentional, and protecting that, and then working to create an intentional environment where we're talking to kids about why we're doing this, mm-hmm. and it's for others. Because I tell you, I just think a lot of kids are going to hear parents, you know, or caregivers, you know, who are rightfully in their own right scared about their financial future or frustrated because they have to stay home from work and what that means. And the kids are going to be hearing this. And again, how is that? It's becoming all about impacting me.
Sure.
So yeah. So maybe finding some time to have finding some time and place to have adult conversations that adults need to have, but out of the earshot of the little
ones. Right. Take care of yourself too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, that's really good. Mary, thank you very much. We're telling people we're keeping these videos short and we're coming up here on kind of our limit. Any final parting thoughts or words that you want to share with us, and any nuggets?
Just hang in there. I think it is a very scary time. Your kids are feeling it. You're feeling it. But that even for parents, it can be maybe a time if you do have extra time at home on your hands to even check in with yourself emotionally and say, how is even being in this new environment with my kids affecting me, and how can I be supported too? It's always worth asking.
Well, great. That's solid stuff. Thank you so much. And everybody, thanks again for taking a little bit of time and listening to this. Let us know if you have any questions. Again, on YouTube and on our website below this video, I'll put a link to Hopewell. It's an amazing, company organization that we leverage as a family, and as a church. And so we just want to make sure you're connected to them. I also just want to remind you that, if you haven't yet, make sure you, sign up for the digital weekly. Just go right to the website, riversunited.church, right at the very top. You'll see a button. You can register for the weekly. That email is going to be, the best way to ensure that you're getting the updates from the church of available resources, our plans for Sunday services. We are testing right now some, and having some of our small groups of our most senior members of our church are having a ball using video chat. And it's been so fun to video chat with some 80-year-olds. And we're helping them get their, you know, us connected. And then after we get them all connected, we're going to be rolling out online small groups and And just know that myself and John and our leaders, we're praying for you every single day. And we're here for you. And if you need anything, please make sure you let your small group leader know, your team leader know, or reach out right to us directly at the church. So thanks again for watching and listening. Mary, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And we'll talk again soon.